Survivor Specialist Phil and McKenna are back tonight. McKenna making her appearance for the second week in a row after last week filling in for me because I was having power surges like crazy down here in South Florida. Alexa's out tonight, so McKenna is back. Survivor 43, Episode 3. We've had three different pairings going on here for 3 weeks now, three different recaps. However, I will say that this has consistently been three really good episodes of Survivor so far. We might not be consistent, but the show, I think, so far has been. Unless, McKenna, am I totally off? Are you?
I'm here for season 43. I am all in and loving it for sure.
I also just realized I don't have my microphone plugged in, so
Why you sounded a little weird.
All right, McKenna, you take over. I'm going to plug my microphone in. You start talking. Start off with, who should we start with? Start off with James's birthday.
Oh, so yes, it was James's birthday. And this like birthday celebration with the bracelet and stuff that they gave him kind of was the catalyst and like in Carla needed later on in the episode. But there's always that one Survivor moment where there are, you know, birthdays. Kelly Wentworth always had it. And I always love seeing how the tribe comes together with it and, you know, tries to make those little homemade gifts. So he got a bracelet, which then leads Carla into wanting a necklace for her girlfriend for her birthday, and the whole Beware advantage getting all of the beads. And that moment was really fun. But we open up this entire episode with Cody talking about his reactions to the Beware advantage and getting the beads and almost not having a vote and like tripping that he doesn't have a vote. And it's wild. And, you know, Dwight being on the outs and all that.
Good job, McKenna, for your first time being literally left out to dry. The problem is the wire for the microphone is the same as for the PlayStation. Mm-hmm. So I only have one of them and I go back and forth between here and the PlayStation. And last night I was watching The Shining for the podcast with me and John tonight. And I still own DVDs because I like to pretend it's like,
I love DVDs. I have a DVD cabinet.
Good. I have so many of them. So we're talking about beads here and it was James's birthday. All of that goes down. I am loving the beads twist right now. And I am loving what I love about this as compared to the phrases. And this is something that we've been very vocal about wanting. Is it forcing players to play, but at the same time, it is showing that the producers trust the players to actually play. Because this is 2 weeks in a row that this could have totally not worked. Cody could have not figured it out. Carla could have not figured it out. But they did figure it out. Yeah. And I think that's awesome. Like, Carla's was so much smoother than what Cody's was, but we also had more time spent with Carla's because Cody's was a little bit more dragged out. But I loved that she went to everybody she knew who was going to be hard with. And so she started kind of giving things back to them, almost like saying, you'll remember me, I'll remember you. I think that's a great idea. It's a fun twist on everything. And it's a lot better than just like, oh, are they going to say the funny line? Like, there's no gameplay involved in the funny line thing. Like, this is gameplay. In fact, we all think Mike cheated last year and had to say it and just didn't say it. So, like, who knows? But I think that this really worked.
I loved how she was, or we got confessionals of her saying, all right, I have to approach it with a different angle. This is how to play this person. This is how to play this person. And it was very strategic on how she got the beads and how she manipulated certain people to get the beads from them.
Mm-hmm. And now my mic is going to sound even better.
It's crystal clear.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't it crazy though? Like when I plug my mic in, it wants the audio to be through my camera, which doesn't even have a microphone. That's what it's defaulted to. And I've changed the default like 20 times and it doesn't change. So anyway, here we are. We're back. I can actually be heard now. We can actually have a podcast. It just took us 4 minutes and 45 seconds to get in here.
All good. No worries.
So yeah, Cody coming out right away talking about this. It's kind of like a jarring start to this episode because we didn't have anything about like post-tribal. It kind of was just the next morning and it was still Cody talking about the same thing, which I'm pretty sure was the confessional from last week that we already saw. So that was like the day before and then everything else.
Yeah.
But it was clearly established right away that Noel was on the bottom of this tribe. Mm-hmm. Justine goes home. Noel is on the bottom. Vessie is happy with their decision, but Dwight doesn't trust Jesse now. And Cody and NECA are like, well, too bad. It's got to be Noel. Like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I really, and we'll get into the later part of this episode, but I really have to say, I was kind of writing off Noel as an easy boot here. It really felt like she was just going to be an easy boot, that this was going to be kind of like a standard whatever episode. And I'm very happy with how it developed, but that it felt like it developed naturally. Like it took its time getting there. For an hour episode, this felt so full.
Mm-hmm.
And
not rushed.
And not rushed like at all. Like we got good time with every single tribe. We got good time with a lot of the players. I would say that we probably heard from everybody tonight, even if they didn't get a confessional. We heard from everyone. And we got like four or five really big moments. We got a good challenge. And then we got a really good tribal that left me kind of scratching my head for a second. But I like the way that the Noel storyline developed and how we didn't get like a fake, like, I hate Jesse. Jesse must go home. Like, we didn't get anything like that this week. We just got like, I'm on the wrong side of the numbers.
Yeah. And we almost got teased a little bit for the end result in the beginning of like, you know, NECA versus Noel. Like, if we were keeping heart, then it's NECA. But, you know, do we want to keep strength together? Then we keep Noel. So, what were your thoughts about Ellie's throne of Queen Bee getting kind of just like the legs taken out from under it?
Well, okay. So it made me feel good because I've been putting Gabler at number one in my rankings. And guess what, everybody? Gabler's number one in my next power rankings. But there's been this whole belief that like Gabler's going to quit or Gabler's going to, you know, he's going to medevac something. It's the edit, man. And I'm telling you right now, Gabler feels like he's getting this huge underdog story. Mm. Like, and I think that we saw this last week where the girls were talking, those guys wouldn't even try to talk Alliance. And then we see the guys talking Alliance. Ellie and Janine looked really good week one. They are now not looking so good. Like them coming down the beach and giggling about it, as we have the dramatic irony of like, but you're the wrong one. And we know Gabler's smarter. Like Gabler is playing this really well and he's playing it exactly how he wants to, which is really good for him. That doesn't mean I think Gabler is going to win. And I don't necessarily think Ellie's a bad player. I just think they're taking for granted that Gabler is an older guy who mm-hmm. is struggling more than everybody else. And she looked bad tonight. Her and Janine both looked really bad tonight. And Owen, as predicted, it's right in the swing position, because even if he decides, cool, Gabler, I've been a part of it, whatever, but I still would like to work with the girls. He's getting rid of Sammy. Owen's in a great spot right now. He's the kingpin on that tribe.
Mm-hmm. And Sammy just being like, oh, you think you're closest to Gabler? Mm-hmm. Okay, you go do that. And then going off and having a conversation with Gabler being like, listen, Ellie's gonna try and convince you that your idol it's not gonna work. And he's like, I know it still works. I'm not dumb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was the thing. Like, I like how it was Sammy. I like the way that he approached it, where he just said, like, does your idol still work? And Gabler said, yes. And then Sammy let him in on it. Because he goes up to him and says, hey, they don't think your idol still works. And Gabler says, well, my idol doesn't still work. Now Sammy's the one who looks bad here. You know what I mean? Because then it's like, how do I explain this? But Sammy got to approach it the right way, where he said, does your idol still work? Yes. Okay. The girls went through your bag, so they all know that, but they're going to try to convince you it doesn't. He's like, what? I love that approach. I think Sammy had a really good episode tonight. Mm-hmm. I don't think Sammy's out of the woods or in the clear by any means right now, but I do think he had a really, really, really good episode. I would say that after week one, I was like, wow, it's the women and whoever they want to bring with them. Now I feel like it's the men who have the control on that tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Although the women could easily turn it around by just being nice to Owen. And I think that's really all it's going to take for them to get the numbers back.
Yeah. And you know, nothing bonds a tribe like a fake idol making party.
Oh my gosh. I know. I know. And like trying to take pieces of his, like, And that just shows the approach, though, right? Like, Sammy's approach was really good. Ellie's approach was so bad because she's immediately going, oh, well, we'll take pieces of yours because at least you never had to use it. So now Gabler can't be like, well, no, I still have power with this thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you're approaching it the wrong way. And so, of course, Gabler is just going to sit there and say, okay, whatever. But you're not going to get info from him, at least not sincere info, unless, like, you have to almost ask him, like, does it still work? And now he's going to tell you no, because he knows that you're trying to get him.
Exactly. I just, this whole scene with Baca was just wild because, you know, Ellie thinks she's playing Gabler and Gabler's just like, no, you're not, but I'm not going to tell you you're not.
So we had all of that go down at Baca. That was really what we got from Baca. I think it was pretty obvious that this tribe was not going to go to tribal council tonight. They ultimately ended up winning. Like, they were first place overall, really dominant in the puzzle portion of it, even though they were dominating the whole time. Jeff at one point said, like, Vessi had the lead and now they're blowing it. And I was like, when did Vessi have the lead in this? Cody got there third. Like, Sammy was the first one there. Ryan got there second and Cody got there third. So Vessi never actually, like, they might have had the puzzle pieces out first, but, like, that doesn't do any good. So Baca ended up dominating in the challenge. I'm still not convinced that Baca even goes back to tribal council, because I talked about this in the after show for $20 patrons. So there you go. A little plug there. I talked about this. Yeah. McKenna's normally pulling the questions and comments. So there you go. But I talked about this in that episode. And then me and Alexa did a whole retrospective where somehow we didn't mention the James and Tom situation in Heroes versus Villains, where we talked about getting rid of people for the betterment of the tribe versus getting rid of people for the bettering of your alliance, and how a lot of times when you just vote based on your alliance too early in the game, it does backfire on you. Mm-hmm. Or, like, how does that impact the game? They got rid of Mariah and made it seem like it was a strength thing. And whether it was or wasn't, it ultimately was the right move for that tribe. Tonight with Vessi, we saw that by voting out Justine, all they did was prolong the inevitable by one tribal council, because NECA was terrible at the puzzle again. And you just had to vote her out at this point. Otherwise, you were going to keep losing. Now, I don't know how they're going to recover, because now they're down to four people and Blue's going to be sitting out their two weakest members. And now even Yellow gets to sit out somebody. So if Gabler is exhausted, he doesn't have to participate. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, Yellow made the right decisions for themselves. And I think that even though we're kind of seeing their infighting, we're seeing them be right a lot and we're seeing them be wrong a lot, but we're seeing them as a tribe really doing well together. Vessi, we're not seeing that at all. Like, this might have been the right decision tonight, but I still don't feel like we're seeing Vessi as, like, a good tribe at Survivor necessarily.
Yeah, they're not a cohesive unit. They were a tight three, and then one of those three was just, like, the tire popped and is now, like, running down the road. Yeah.
Now NECA is gone. Now, do you think NECA was the right move, or should they have voted off Noelle? Now, granted, knowing that they don't know that she has an advantage.
I think NECA was the move, because for furthering their own games or just keeping more numbers long-term, NECA staying, if they lose another challenge, okay, Dwight goes home. Now they're down to three, where they could still have four, and maybe Noelle does flip, but I'd rather take the odds of maybe having four than could be two.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's what happened to Uwa and Matt Singh. You know, it was like, once the wheels came off, they never stopped coming off. And who was it last season? 'Cause Uwa was 41. Who went in with the smallest numbers in 42?
Yase?
I don't know. I can't remember the name of any of the tribes, but anyway, like, yeah, it was, well, Green was the only one that, like, had the numbers, and then they voted off Daniel anyway. So last season was just a really even season in the pre-merge.
I didn't think there was any, like, standout.
Yeah. So So really it was like in 41 though, sometimes when you start losing and lose, you just can't recover. Mm-hmm. And then at that point it doesn't matter, because for every Denise and Malcolm, you're going to have a Ricard and Shan. So, you know, you have to find that balance there. I think Necco was the right move here. What I think is really interesting for Vessi, and this is kind of talking proactive rather than recapping, but what I think is really interesting for Vessi is if Noelle comes out and steals Jesse's vote, and now she has two and Dwight has one and Cody votes. If Dwight and Noelle don't split their votes between Cody and Jesse, Cody is going to play his idol,
mm-hmm.
and Noelle's going to go home, despite the fact that she has two votes and stole somebody's vote. So that's just an interesting way to look at this. I thought for sure, see, and I do like this portion that when they go to this island, they're not necessarily getting the same thing every time. Because I mm-hmm. thought for sure she was just going to get, okay, your idol is good for two tribals. But I love that it was a steal of vote and that it was something different, because there's a different way to play this. And I was really surprised that she didn't play it at tribal in this one, but she must have felt really good with what Dwight was telling her, because she didn't trust Jesse and she didn't trust Cody. But to not play that at a tribal where you really think you're in trouble is crazy.
It has to be NECA going home, because the fact that she didn't play it, she sat there and was like, it's a steal of vote. You have to say it before the votes are read. Do you know
that's what I was saying? I was like yelling at my TV and I was like, oh my God, she's going to go home. Like, this sucks. It's going to happen. And then some, you know, like I said, she must've gotten really good word from Dwight, and mm-hmm. NECA must've actually known she was going home pretty much.
Yeah, I guess so. I thought it was interesting at first that Carla didn't actually take the advantage when it was before the challenge even happened. Like, she has time in case there is a vote.
Yeah, so we had two interesting things happen tonight with the advantages. We'll talk about the island in a second, where they all went there, where it was Owen, Noelle, and James. We'll talk about that mm-hmm. in a second. But yes, with Carla's, I thought it was going to be that she was going to not take the advantage and then try to trick James into getting the advantage, kind of walk by and be like, oh my God, is that it? So that he would reach up and grab it. Now he loses his vote. She works with him and tries to build that as confidence. Mm-hmm. I like that Carla ultimately took it for herself. I think, you know, you got to take control in Survivor as much as you can. But I understand where she was coming from, where she really feels like she's in the middle on that tribe. So you don't want to lose mm-hmm. your vote, because if the wrong side loses their member, now you are on the outside. So I that was the first time I see somebody grab it and put it back and really think it through. But also, I really thought that she was going to try to trick James into it. And I think that would have been a good strategy. That might not be a bad strategy if you're going to play 44, which they already left. But if you're listening, you're going to play 45. Might not be the worst strategy to go out and do that and try to get somebody else to grab it, so they're the one who's losing their vote. Because the one thing that we do know at this point with Beware Advantages is you're not voting. Like, that is the one thing that remains consistent with pretty much all of these, is if you pick up a Beware Advantage, you lose your vote.
Yeah. The only thing that happened where someone put it back was Jeannie, and then Shan immediately took it.
That's right. That's right. That's true.
But
Jeannie
was like, okay, Shan.
Yeah. And that didn't work out for Jeannie at all.
No.
Didn't really work out for Shan either, though. Like, Shan pretty much was going to go where she got, whether she had that or not. So, yeah, I just thought that was interesting. I think that's a cool little twist, because we haven't seen that dived into yet. And I want to see that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, that kind of gave me ideas. Like, if you're going out to play 45, how do you kind of game the game at this point? Because there's a lot of risks that you have to take to get advantages in Survivor. Like, this one seems easy at this point. Whatever they do next time is probably going to be a lot harder. You know, because they want to kind of even that up.
Yeah, I just think having the social interaction with the beads is so much better than like the sneaky of like the red paint or the phrases or what mm-hmm. have you. I just think the having to do something that's a little bit more socially damaging, maybe.
Yeah.
It is so much better.
I totally agree. Couldn't agree more. And now, but I just, what are they going to do next year? You know, like, how do you keep doing this? Because now you can't have it be like, we have to ask people for something because now we're going to be on edge.
I'm always a big fan of, you have to give this half of the idol to some, to someone else before it has power.
Yeah.
So it could be like, you have an idol, you have to give it to someone else before the next tribal council, or do, and then something else where you lose your vote. I don't know, but
yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, it'll be funny. I don't know if we'll be able to get cast interviews after this season or not. Hopefully we can, but even if we can't right away, hopefully we can hear it in pregame, postgame press or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it'll be funny. Like, you have to think, you spend so much time with these people. So much. You guys are talking about the most mundane BS. There's like, I wonder what you can really get away with asking people on this show before they would actually be aware. Because you have to think, like, McKenna, if we were both out there and I was like, wow, like, you're cold. I'm looking at you right now because you're wearing all these sweatshirts.
I'm freezing.
And I'm like, yes. What are you doing? Like, in Florida right now, it's like 79 degrees and it's brutal. But I'm like, okay, you're cold, or I'm cold. So you're like, here's my sweatshirt. And, or if I say, McKenna, can I have your sweatshirt? Like, is that going to get to the point where it's like, why do you want my sweatshirt? What do you want with that? Like, what's going on? Like, what I'm saying is, like, what Carla did in this episode and what Cody kind of did last week, those feel like just natural things you're going to sit around and talk about. Like, we saw, I forget what season it was, but they were making like best friend bracelets. Like, people do this. I think it's Palau. Katie's sitting around making them.
Africa, they also do it too.
True. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Gen Xers.
The Gen Xers, exactly. The Gen Xers who are lazy and everything until 30 seasons later when they're the hardest workers and built this society. But
yes.
but yeah, I just wonder what line you can, what will be the crossing of the line that's going to wake people up to it? Because I'm telling you, if we're out there together, even we both wear glasses, if our prescription is somewhat similar, my glasses get sat on and I say, hey, can I borrow those real quick so I can see that over there? Like, maybe me getting to put your glasses on for 2 seconds was all I needed to get an idol activated. Like, you don't know, but that's such a like regular thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy. And everybody will probably, now that you say that, we'll probably start second guessing, like, oh, could I have your sock?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I know. There's a lot to think about with that. But let's talk about Coco. We heard from everybody on Coco tonight, like, pretty in depth, except for Gio. But we've heard so much from Gio at this point.
Yes.
It is kind of what it is. And now we know Gio really liked his bead. Ryan, we didn't hear too much from, but he beasted
Ryan was a beast in the challenge.
Oh my God. Killed it. I'm glad you had the same reaction, because I was watching that. I was like, he got up there so fast.
That, and then just the perfect dive immediately to the buoy, got it, and then up. I'm like, who is this guy?
Gave me some serious Aussie vibes for sure.
Because,
like,
he doesn't
serious.
Present challenge beasts. He doesn't present like this physical, you know, prowess. And then you just watch him go and it's like, damn, okay.
You know what the thing is, like, with Ryan, normally the challenge beasts on Survivor are either like Brad Culpepper, James Clement, Jonathan size, or they're like super thin, like Ozzie, Tyson, Tom Westman, like just like really like slender, regular kind of body typed. Whereas Ryan's like jacked, but he's short. Like, he kind of gives me like a Russell vibe, but way more ripped than Russell. And so, like, for me, it's like, man, when he dove in and just stayed under the whole time, I was like, okay, this guy's another level. I mean, Cody's lives in Hawaii, and he was slower than Ryan. I don't know exactly where Ryan's from, but that's still crazy.
Not Hawaii.
I know. He's one of the few on this season not from Hawaii. He's from El Paso, Texas. If you've ever been to El Paso, the one thing I can guarantee you is there's no water. Okay. There's none. There's zero. I get, is the Rio Grande there? No, right? I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't know enough about El Paso. I just know I drove through it once and was like, oh God.
I drove through Amarillo, so I still am not.
You've been to Amarillo?
Yeah. Well, because I drove cross country, bringing my girlfriend from Vegas to New York. And one of our stops was Amarillo.
It's the worst.
Just there. Yeah, it wasn't the best.
I've been to Amarillo. I've slept in Amarillo once and I've been there twice. It was
sorry, those watching from Amarillo.
No, I'm not. You know what? I apologize to myself that Amarillo is there. I'd rather run out of gas. Like, my goodness. The first, well, the quick side story. The first time I went to Amarillo, we ate at one of the places that Guy Fieri did on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Mm-hmm. And they had a smoking sign to let you know, like, smoking is allowed. It was not a no smoking sign. It literally was like smoking. That's all it said. And then the water that they brought us was like brown. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is disgusting. So anyway, that's what I got about that. But anyway, no way. Logan, you are not from Amarillo. Are you actually from Amarillo? If Logan Laguerre, I don't know. If you are from Amarillo, that's wild. I want to know how there's 110,000 people who live there. I've done so much research on Amarillo because it blew my mind. But anyway, and if you are, tell me the good things about it, because literally I've been to like the Cracker Barrel in Amarillo and I just, anyway.
Montreal.
Oh God. Explain okay. Good.
The French.
Good. I was going to say Laguerre, right? Like, okay. Anyway. We were talking about blue, right?
Oh yeah. Coco.
So we actually heard Cassidy speak tonight. Mm-hmm. She is Gabe Cade reincarnated and put on this island again. Gabe Cade's still alive. So that, you know, whatever. But Gabe Cade in Marquesas was all about just trying to like build a society, and that's all he wanted. And that's why they voted him out. Mm-hmm. And Cassidy's over here like, we're building a society. It's great. Like, we're doing this. And it's so funny to see like that type of old school mentality, because that's such an old school mentality. Mm-hmm. So we finally heard from her. Maybe that's why she's not getting many confessionals, because a lot of it is about that. And that's not really what CBS is.
We're just here vibing. Yeah. Like, that's all.
She is like so Gen Z, but then also like gives me like, what I can't even think of their name, but anyway, from Africa vibes. But anyway, yeah, one of the Gen Xers, right? So, and then we heard from a little bit from James, not much. Lindsay was kind of talking about just like gameplay, things mm-hmm. like that. So, but we at least heard from Blue tonight. It was nice to actually see them and hear from them, unlike whatever happened last week, which was nothing. So, what was your take on Blue? Any winner? Is there a winner coming out of Blue, McKenna? Do you think?
Obviously, Cassidy. No, I'm a big Lindsay fan.
Are you? I think Carla could win, though. Carla's playing.
I have my draft team with a group of friends is Lindsay and Carla, so I'm rooting for them all the way.
Yeah, who did I? Who
won? And I have them in the $20 patron one too.
If anybody was wondering, intern, two of four people on his tribe are gone. So even though he tried to go against his past strategy where he didn't really think about it, he's still managing to be in last place. So I'm just saying, and then he has Cassidy and Ellie, who probably aren't in the best positions to win Survivor right now. So way to go, intern. All thank star. You. Thank you for your support. yeah, but I was just happy to hear from Blue. But what do you like about Lindsay so much?
She just feels like she has like Chrissy Hofbeck upside, where mm-hmm. it's like she is the mom, but she's also has strategy behind her belt. She's no slouch in any of the challenges. So I think she's physical. She has, you know, some puzzle ability, I think. So I think she is just a jack of all trades, master of none, and can just like go and be not as like recognizable and like, we got to get her out until late game.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Also, my thing with Lindsay that I think is pretty revealing about her is generally on Survivor, and this is pretty much just a fact, the older women don't get edited very well. That's mm-hmm. just kind of how it's been since the dawn of time. Yeah. They're going out of their way to give us confessionals from Lindsay. Now, I know she didn't have any last week, mm-hmm. but we have gotten like a pretty fair amount of confessionals from Lindsay. We got one from her tonight that didn't really need to be like, that wasn't like necessary. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good sign for her. I really do. I think looking at when you're getting confessionals, when you're winning, is like a good way to look at like who actually has longevity and who can win this game. I mean,
yeah,
they're giving us confessionals from her. Carla's getting a lot of confessionals, but Carla also has a lot going on. Like I was talking about last week with Gio and Ryan, mm-hmm. Gio is getting this crazy amount of confessionals. Gio doesn't really have much going on. I think that's good for him and his longevity in the game. And I think the same thing right now for Lindsay, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. I think James is here for mid-merge.
Yeah, he seems like he's getting like the he's the JP, right? He's the JP to Chrissy.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Like, he's there. He's fun. Mm-hmm. I don't know if JP was fun.
No, JP was – he was just there.
But people liked him, right? Like, people liked JP. That's why he stuck around. And I feel like, you know, James maybe has a little more personality than that. At least I hope. But anyway.
I don't know. Your paint on your wall might have had more of a shot at a confessional than JP.
I know. JP, one of the most underrated players in the history of Survivor. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this little summit thing.
Mm-hmm.
Noelle pretty much begged and begged and begged and begged and begged and begged and begged. And James and Owen said, okay, great. Have fun. What do you think about that? And do you think that this only worked because they're doing it as group decisions now rather than the individual decisions like they did in seasons past?
I think it would have worked regardless because neither of them, I think, should give up their vote. Where, like, they're in power positions where their vote matters. Mm-hmm. So I think they should keep it anyway. And I think her spilling everything from what happened with the tribal council, all her votes, what have you, is smart of her because she is on the bottom of that tribe. And she's just trying to make inroads with someone and grasp at straws here. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was wrong of them to let her have this advantage. I think it's just a building trust. Hopefully we all make the merge and let's keep it going because they're not really in jeopardy on their tribe as of right now. So,
yeah, I agree. And especially Owen. Owen really couldn't do this because if Owen does this, he gives up potentially his vote when he's the swing vote and then he doesn't have any power. Mm-hmm. Right now, Owen has all the power, all the knowledge on his tribe, which is a great place to be. James, it's like, why at this point, right? Like, there's no reason. And now, like, if they all make the merge, Noelle kind of is indebted to them. You're obviously hoping that somebody's going to remember and care about you in what, 5 days on this new school season of Survivor. But like, I still think it's the right move. I think it's mm-hmm. the smart thing to do. I think you let this person get the bone that they need so that you can feast later when you really need them. And I think that Noelle is playing a different game of Survivor. Also, I don't think Noelle trusts anybody on her tribe. I think she trusts Dwight only because of necessity. Yeah. I think Noelle's going to be looking for an out as soon as she makes it to the merge, assuming she does.
Yeah.
Which, what are we, 3 votes away from the merge already?
Something like that, yeah. But if the tribal council is looming,
yeah,
he's got probably one more in her and then might go the next because of the steal of vote.
Well, and like I said, though, I think she's the most powerful person on her tribe. I think she's in a really good spot, like blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. However, there's still something that can go wrong for her. And that's if Dwight decides not to vote with her anyway, and Cody plays his idol.
Yeah.
Like that's the crazy part because she has to announce beforehand that she's stealing the vote. So if she announces she's stealing the vote, Cody's playing his idol. He's mm-hmm. playing his idol because he knows it's him or Jesse at that point. He's playing his idol.
Yeah. 100%.
So, okay. Where else? Okay. So NECA goes home. Ultimately, I think this was the right decision. I do think that they were right in voting out NECA. Got to say though, really liked NECA's backstory, really appreciated like the way she was playing Survivor, how excited she was just to really be out there. Seems like she would have had a good social game if yellow or blue would have lost this challenge and red would have went next time. The guys would not have voted NECA off. No. I think NECA still could go home because of Noelle, but I don't think that they would have actually voted NECA off. I think they would have been like, okay, like we like you. You're in our alliance. We only have to get through one more vote. But having to get through three more and knowing that she was real, I mean, she really was the reason they lost both challenges.
Yeah.
Like she was really, and you could say, okay, well, what about Dwight and Jesse? What did they do? They sucked too. I mean, they were really bad at the puzzles both times. But I still think like NECA was the common denominator mm-hmm. there. And I think you just have to get rid of her because if she's not doing the physical portions of the challenge, now she has to do the puzzle. And now you're never going to be able to sit her out ever because three more votes, no matter how it goes, that's just to get it down to even.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. That I think, yeah, NECA has to go here and it's really just the only option for longevity.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. And Jesse was saying like NECA was hit similar to his mother, he felt like a heart relationship with NECA because she reminded him of his mother. And then I said out loud during it, I was like, Sierra voted out her mother. You can too. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to go up there and Jeff's going to be like, he voted out someone who reminded him of his mom. Biggest move of all time. Maybe that'll get the live reunions back just because Jesse almost voted out somebody. Jesse voted out somebody who reminded him of his mom.
All right, Jesse, thank you. Thank you. That'd be great.
That'd be great. Jesse, it's all on you, man. Yeah, we appreciate it. I'm trying to think. So let me hop through some stuff here with prop bet game. Jesse had the episode title, which we all knew was going to happen as soon as the episode title came out. He was going to sign the divorce papers. Carla had a mouth blur. Bunch of people had mouth blurs tonight, but it was like people who already had them, Jesse, Cody, all that fun stuff. Let me see here. NECA ended up crying. There was a real tear. Jesse also cried. There was a real tear. NECA had a confessional in every episode she was in, and she got five or fewer votes. She ended up getting exactly five. So that was good for her. And, Carla has a hidden immunity idol. So Carla, Gabler and Cody are your three immunity idol holders right now at this point. So that's good for everybody over there. What do you think of this turtle puzzle? I know we never really talk about what they do at the challenges, but what do you think of this turtle puzzle?
It's been used before, and I think it's one of the more simpler ones because it's, if you know what a turtle looks like, it has the outer rim and then the shells are smaller and then go to bigger as it hits the center. So you just got to rearrange your pieces better. And the fins are different from the shell. Like all the sections are different from each other. It's just the finding which shell pieces and which edge pieces fit where. But I like the turtle puzzle. I think it's an even enough puzzle where you can catch up, but it's not too easy.
Yeah, and I think you have to figure out, just like with everything else, you have to figure out the pattern, right? So like the fact that it goes smaller to bigger, it doesn't seem like Red ever figured that out. I also feel like it's a hard puzzle to cheat at because like if you're trying to look at somebody else's puzzle, like you have to like really have good visualization skills to be like, oh, that's a little bit smaller and it has an edge. Like that's just impossible because all those pieces.
They should have just been focused on putting together their own puzzle instead of just what's that piece? Is it that piece? What's that?
I think Jesse just ended up in such a bad situation. I feel like he felt like he had to do the puzzle portion because he wasn't going to do the swimming portion. And then like Dwight wasn't allowed to do the puzzle again because he wasn't good. And NECA was like, okay, like, what are you going to do? So I feel like Jesse just kind of got thrown into it. Jesse's not a puzzle guy, but how is that tribe going to win this season at all if they don't have a puzzle person? Like there's four people on that tribe. They got it. Somebody's got to be able to do a puzzle.
I mean, the next shot is Noelle. So
true. That's true. She doesn't have a choice.
We probably need Cody more along the physical lines, but
yeah. All right. I'm looking at confessionals here. So Ellie, Gabler, Owen, and Sammy on the Yellow Tribe also have a shot at getting a confessional in every episode. Janine didn't have one tonight. And then Carla is the only one from the Blue Tribe who can get a confessional in every episode. Cassidy didn't have one. Cassidy, James, and Lindsay didn't have one last week. And then Gio and Ryan didn't have one this week. Everybody on Red can still get it. And NECA and Justine both did. So that's for the prop bet people who are following along. Fun fact, Cody has 24 confessionals this season. And Cassidy, Gio both have four. James, Lindsay both have five. Ryan and Janine both have six. Everybody else is at least in double digits, but Cody has 24. I'm really surprised Ryan only has four. I feel like his one last week was like an hour and a half long though. Or I mean, Gio, his one last week was so long that I feel like it was like six confessionals.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's interesting. I feel like I know Gio and Ryan and Janine pretty well. So for them to be three of the four people or four and Lindsay too, like they're all people who I feel like we know pretty well, despite the fact that they have such few confessionals. So that's always a good thing. Is there anything I missed that you wanted to talk about that you took? I know this time
I had a warning. I had a warning this time. Yeah, no, I think we covered pretty much everything that I had notes on.
Yeah.
After this, Phil will be doing his after show, and sometime this weekend, tomorrow, will be the Amazing Race podcast. And stay tuned for MTV's The Challenge, where we'll be covering over on the Patreon.
Yeah, that's for, what are we doing that for? Is that for 10 and 20 or just 20? You can do that
for, I don't know. Whatever you want to do.
We'll talk about it behind the scenes and figure it out. I've been giving Amazing Race, I think, to both because the after show is for 20. So, but anyway, become a patron, patreon.com/survivor specialist. There's $1, $5, $10, and $20 tiers. If you've joined or if you've been a patron for a long time and you're not in the Discord yet, become a member in the Discord. Alex Triage, John Millsip are pretty much keeping that thing afloat. Trey keeps jumping in though. We've actually had a lot of people commenting, but like Alex Trios is always in there, like in the middle of the episode. So that's always a good thing. But pretty much there's been a lot of conversation going on there. We have stuff, you know, where you can talk about the Amazing Race if you really want to. I don't know how you can dissect that longer than 5 minutes, but burning questions about Survivor, anything like that, anything that we're not addressing that you want to talk about, go in there, have a chat, do all that fun stuff. If you want to know who's behind McKenna on her wall, McKenna, don't say it because I know who it is, but don't say it. If you want to know who that is and you can't tell from the iconic photo that it is, then you might as well go ahead and jump into the Discord. But $1, $5, $10, and $20 tiers. The after show is only for the $20 tiers. The Amazing Race podcast has been going to 10 and 20. You got a Q&A, retrospectives, all that fun stuff. McKenna is going to just keep pounding out material here because that's what she does. That's what she do. And that's it. Follow us on all social media and all that fun stuff too. And I'm talking about the picture, by the way, everybody. I'm not talking about the Rapunzel doll that's over there. Yeah. Come on. You got to get your hands right. I'm poking my TV here.
backwards.
It is backwards. I know. You got to get used to it. But McKenna, thank you for filling in. John and I are about the podcast about The Shining and Swingers. But The Shining, it's spooky season. So if you're interested in horror movies, come listen to that. That'll be fun. And then I'm going to do the after show after that. Me and Alexa will be back at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday. And then Alexa will have a guest on Wednesday. I will not be there. I will be having the most wonderful time of my life, which you guys will hear all about once it's over. But anyway, that's it. Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Love you all. McKenna, thanks for filling in again.
Of course.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.